Oh God, thank you for helping us. Give us a heart for the gospel. And now as we sit under your word, you know us. Please speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, will you open the Bibles with us on Sunday mornings? We all are working through Titus together, and we're in chapter 2 at the moment, and a very, very helpful and challenging passage indeed. Now, you may remember what we did last Sunday. I hope some of you can remember. We listened to the Lord as he spoke through Titus to tell the church on Crete how the older men must live. So for those of our dear brothers here this morning who are older, and we left that to you, that what is to characterize your lives? See? And there were six things. Do you remember that? The older men are to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in the faith, sound in love, and number six, sound in endurance. Now this morning we're going to speak to the younger men. To those here this morning who have joined us, and it's wonderful to have you guys, to those who are younger men. Next Sunday morning, the older woman, so don't pretend to be sick or to have earache or whatever. You must be here. And then the following week, we're going to do the younger woman. All right, so we'll cover everybody. But today, the young men. Now, the answer is found in verse 6. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. So there's only one characteristic which we are to teach our young men to portray. And that is to be self-controlled. It hardly needs saying, my dear friends, that in our very permissive society, and in our self-indulgent moral climate, what could be more challenging than this particular word, certainly for today? John Benton put it like this. He says, it hardly needs saying that in this permissive, self-indulgent moral climate of a place like Crete, where to give in to any and every temptation was seen to be the normal thing to do, such a virtue of self-control was of prime importance to young men. So what does it mean when it says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled? I want to give you two definitions. The one comes from a man called William Hendrickson, who said this. It means that young men must place themselves under the discipline of the gospel and must guard themselves against being led astray either by the evil promptings of their sinful nature or by the opinions and customs which prevail in the pagan world around them. That's fantastic. Isn't that helpful? Listen to it one more time. Young men must place themselves under the discipline of the gospel and must guard themselves against being led astray, either by the evil promptings of their own sinful nature or self-control can be thought of then as the ability to discern and to see the importance of the godly goal in a situation. And then to choose that goal over against competing desires and concerns. It involves sometimes the ability to postpone immediate pleasure in order to get on with work that needs to be done, and this requires strength. Now, friends, like many of you, we have three boys. Basically 26, we had to stop it, but it just was wonderful, you see. Now, what do we say to young men that have been through university, that got the finest degrees that we can possibly try and give them, that fantastic education, been at very good schools, and we say, there's the world out there. It's a big world, and it's a pagan world. It's an evil world. What do we say to young men? If we had to try and summarize, brothers and sisters, the pressures that come across our young men today, I think we could put them under three. Maybe afterwards you'll be able to help me with others. But for want of easy remembrance, what are the three big things that young men face today? The three P's. Pride, petticoats, and pennies. Let's have a look at those for a minute. The first thing is the temptation to become proud and to lust for power. That's a massive thing, isn't it? So there they'll have their education, or they'll have their gifts, or they'll have their personalities, and they're put out there in the world and they want to climb the ladder. Whatever field that may be, and I want to get to the top. And the temptation is, no matter what, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter how I act, no matter what, I want to get to the top. And as I get to the top, the temptation is to become proud. It's a huge thing, isn't it? It's massive. And you think that we can do it all our own? Just like old Uncle Frank used to say, I did it my way. That's right. He did do it his way. But he made a mess of his life. A terrible mess. Pray for your sons. That as they begin to go into their different fields, when you and I see them and chat to them, there's no pride. There's no self-sufficiency. There's no arrogance. What's the second P? Second P is for pennies, for money. Now, John Benton is absolutely right. We live in a very self-indulgent moral climate, just like it was in Crete. And everything's for money, isn't it? Everything's money. Money. You accept a job if it offers more money. You go into something because it offers you money. And you and I want to try and teach young men, money's not everything. Money doesn't bring happiness. Money doesn't bring you closer to Jesus necessarily. In fact, Jesus said it's very, very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. Very difficult. But the temptation is to make more money, to drive a better car, to live in a posher house, to have all the mod cons that the world has to offer. But you know what, friends? You do, and so do I. We can take each other to friends, maybe even family. And the more they've got money, the more they've drifted away from Jesus. Do you know people like that? I do. And it hurts, eh? It hurts. It's not nice. It's horrible. Because money is subtle. And it takes you away from perhaps living a godly lifestyle and having those old priorities that one used to have. Pray for your sons. Young men here this morning, please remember, the Bible's absolutely right. Self-control. Don't become proud. As you make progress, don't become self-sufficient. Have self-control. Don't lose your soul to money. Don't lose your soul to getting more things that the world's got to offer. Titus, encourage young men to have self-control. What's the third P? Petticoats. Oh, well, that's old-fashioned, isn't it? But all the P's match up. But you know what, friends? Besides money and pride, the next big issue is the sexual side of life. And our sons and grandsons and friends, young men, the temptation out there is massive. Absolutely massive. Whether it's surfing the web or picking up these magazines in the supermarkets or believing what the world says. And the world says there's nothing wrong. A number of years ago, you will always remember it, I'm sure, those of you who look back a bit there and remember the good old songs. Remember Debbie Boone's number one hit parade song? How can something be wrong when it feels so right? Remember that song? Very nice tune. But what terrible morals and sexual things tempt young men today. And they'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with sex before marriage. They'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with shacking up with girls before you get married. Now friends, it's sin. It's wrong. We know a young man who moved away and his girlfriend moved in with him. And he said to me, what do you think? I said, it's not right. It's wrong. It's sin. What do you think I should do? I said, well, if I may suggest, either you move out, one of you, or you get married. Or you get married. If you love one another and you want to spend the rest of your life together, then you get married. And they got married. And I was there. They had some very, very close friends. They got married. It was wonderful. Their wedding will take place later on this year. But legally, they married. And I think what a wonderful thing it is. It just puts a right perspective onto their relationship. But don't live in sin. It's not right. It's not proper. It's not godly. Titus, teach the young guys to have self-control. Money, sex, pride, self-control. Isn't that helpful? What about an old man? Oh, you guys have got it easy. Temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. Young men, self-control. And so that wonderful definition by Hendrickson just puts it so nicely for me. Young men, place yourselves under the discipline of the gospel. Guard yourself against being led astray, either by evil promptings from your sinful nature or by the customs which prevail in the world. Pray for your sons. Pray for your grandsons and the young men. Now just secondly, for a few moments, what is Titus's responsibility? And then next week we get into the ladies, which is so exciting. Now, what is Titus to do? He's spoken to the old men. We've gone through that last Sunday. He's spoken to the young men. He's dealt with that this morning. Now, what was Titus to do? And friends, this is so important to see this, isn't it? Titus had three responsibilities. If ever you do pray for perhaps myself, or for Mark, or for Shane, or for John, or for Tom, all of us who try and serve you here, what would we ask you to pray for? What is our responsibility in this world in which we are living, where there are no more absolutes, there are no more standards, the gospel is going out of the door and the Bible is no longer loved? What is our responsibility? What was Titus to do? Right, there it is, three things. Number one, look at verse 1. Read it with me. You must teach. Verse 2, first word, teach. Verse 3, teach. You see? You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Verse 2, teach the older men. Verse 3, teach the older men. See verse 9, teach slaves. So what's our main task, brothers and sisters? Our main privilege and enormous honor and unbelievable joy is to spend time in prayer and preparation so that we can teach the Bible. We can't do better than that. In a province that's riddled with problems, in a continent that's riddled with problems, what's the greatest, greatest, greatest thing I can do? The greatest thing I can do is to take this precious word of God and to teach it to as many people as I could. To train and equip as many young men, pastors and missionaries, to go out as I possibly can, teaching the Bible. It's the only hope. We've put up a nice banner. Did you like the banner outside there? It's great, eh? It's not a negative thing. What's it say again? Something about, just slips my mind there. Don't worry. Yeah, there you go. But what's the first thing? What's it say, Michael? Are you forgotten as well? He's getting older. Yeah, there is hope. Oh, that's right. There is hope because Jesus is alive. You see, that's what we're here for. So Titus, teach. Take the Bible and teach it. Teach it. Teach it. Teach the old men. Teach the young men. Teach the old woman. What must he do with a young woman? Stay clear. But we'll do that in 2 weeks time. Who teaches the young woman? The old woman. Fantastic. So what must I do? Train the old woman. That's a pity, but yeah, it's a fine. Okay, there we go. So teach. Number two, what's Titus' second responsibility? Verse 6. He must encourage. Must encourage. Take time to get alongside men who are starting their careers. Spend time with them. Take them for coffee. Take them for fishing trips. Build relationships. Make them your friends. It's so important that we do that. We must encourage the young men. We must come alongside the young men with lots of love and grace and patience and love them. That's what you must do, Titus. Teach them. Encourage them. And number three, set an example. See verse 7? In everything, set them an example. That's the hardest. Isn't that right, friends? Set the example in what? In integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. That's what I want you to do. Go and teach the Bible. Go and encourage the young men. And in everything you do in life, Be an example. Be an example. In integrity, in seriousness, and soundness of speech. May I, as your brother, are you an older brother here this morning? Maybe you need to come to those six things and say, Lord, am I falling down on some of these? Then my friend, come to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to put it right. For your young men that are here today, are you exercising self-control before you make decisions? Always putting the gospel first before you are tempted to money, pride, sex. Ask God for self-control. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And I just pray that by your grace, you will help us, Lord, to teach our world, our city here in Pinetown, our friends, our family, to live lives that are governed by the gospel. Help our young men to be self-controlled in every area of life. Help us to encourage them with love and grace and with lots of patience. Help our older men to so live that the young men can follow them. And be with us as a church as we further look into the older ladies and the younger women, that our church here may be governed by the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.